present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Amy MacDonald, and Patrick Moore in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome back two guests who have been with us before, Amy MacDonald and Patrick Moore, to play with two of our regulars, Kenneth Williams and Peter Jones. The rules are the same. They're going to try and speak for just a minute, if they can, on a subject I will give them without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And you will see how well they do that as we start the program this week with Peter Jones. Peter, the subject is foolishness. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, there's a lot of it about. And I suppose there always has been throughout history. In fact, what is the story of civilization but the foolishness and the extraordinary dim-witted...
Amy MacDonald has challenged you.
It's a bit sort of hesitant, isn't it?
It was more. It was definitely
hesitant. It's just a manner of speaking. It's not a hesitation.
It may be a manner of speaking, but you can't speak like that in just a minute, because it's hesitation.
But it's so boring, Di. Pardon me.
No, yes. Well, good night,
so
all.
Amy MacDonald... Amy MacDonald has challenged, and as it's a correct challenge, which I agree with, she gets a point for that, and she takes over the subject of foolishness, and there are 47 seconds left, starting now.
Well, I mean, foolishness is so silly. I mean, one has to be sensible about life. It's so ridiculous to go through the whole shebang being absolutely, uncontrollably, impeccably stupid. It's much better to be irrevocably...
Patrick Moore has challenged.
I nearly said it. I was trying to say irrevocably.
Well, I appreciate what you were trying to say, but you hesitated doing so.
Yeah. She not only hesitated, I think she deviated from correct English. But anyway, Patrick...
And I didn't think it was all that interesting either.
Patrick, you have a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of foolishness, and there are 29 seconds left, starting now.
Foolishness is indeed a characteristic of civilization. Going back to ancient times, consider for one moment, if you will, the ancient Athenians. They...
Amy MacDonald.
The two things.
Two ancients.
Two ancients.
Yes, not
yes.
Two things.
Yes, right.
And Amy, you have the subject back with a point for a correct challenge, and 21 seconds left, starting now.
I think foolishness can be actually quite fun at times. I mean, Kenneth Williams would not understand that because he's always so incredible.
Peter Jones is charming.
I'm very glad you mentioned Kenneth Williams because the audience probably at home don't realise that he's with us.
Thank you very much for pointing that out.
Very thoughtful of you. Very thoughtful of you.
Yes, well,
I don't need you. I can talk to myself. You talk about me as I'm some mute idiot sitting
here. No, we were just trying to coax you out of your shell.
I was fascinated by that woman there. I was fascinated by her. I think they should have more women on this show. Give them enough rope, they hang themselves.
Peter, what is your challenge, actually? Because that wasn't...
It wasn't really a challenge. It was just a sort of comment.
So, Amy MacDonald, therefore...
I get a pound. What am I talking about?
No, you don't get any money. The BBC can't afford that. You have...
I get a point, huh?
You get a point because you were interrupted and no correct challenge. And there are 14 seconds left. Foolishness starting now.
You see, if one is silly about things, then one doesn't really understand the importance of it. So, therefore, it doesn't really affect one.
Patrick Moore.
Hesitation, or rather another standstill.
Yes, a complete halt, and three ones as well, but no...
I keep forgetting that. I'm awfully bad at that, aren't I?
But you're so good in other ways, Amy, I wouldn't worry. Patrick, you have 4 seconds on foolishness, starting now.
Foolishness is prevalent in the modern world. One has only to look at the television or listen to the radio...
When Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that the 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. On this occasion was Patrick Moore. Kenneth Williams, the subject is teacups. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, Kenneth, starting now?
When I hold mine delicately poised in my beautifully manicured hands, I think automatically...
Amy MacDonald has challenged.
And beautifully manicured hands. Have you seen his hands?
Well, I hate to judge on whether his hands are beautifully manicured or not, but let us say that they have been manicured, so therefore we won't judge on the person who actually did the manicure and say he was an incorrect challenge, and Kenneth has 55 seconds to continue.
Kenneth, shut her great mouth, Chief.
Well, it's part of the game to open one's big mouth, and you do it beautifully, Kenneth.
But I do it in a complimentary. I say nice things.
Oh, yes. Yes, nice,
always.
I'm
known as a great charmer.
Yes. In the most outrageous way. Right, Kenneth, there are 55 seconds for teacups starting now.
One thinks automatically of Josiah Spode and the incredible use to which he put feldspar and bone to create this translucent porcelain which became so popular with tea drinkers, and the cups that you hold made by that gentleman were edifying, not only in the sense that you were having the nectar coming to the lips most delicately, but also...
Patrick. He's talking about drinking nectar. These are teacups.
he was suggesting that the tea...
tea
no,
it?
He was suggesting the tea became nectar when it came out of the
teacups. That's it. You got it. You got it. He's brilliant. What a chairman. There's no rubbish there. He's a marvellous chairman.
But it doesn't become nectar.
When he comes, he's in one of his charming moods today.
Shut up. I'm throbbing with it. Go on.
So while Kenneth is still throbbing, I'll tell him he has 24 seconds on teacups starting now.
A lot of people associate scandalous chatter behind the teacups and say, oh, they're having a little babble together, aren't they? And once they get there with the scones, we can...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, he said they three times in a very short space of time.
He did, actually, yes. And while we let you get away with it maybe twice, three days in quick succession is repetition. 15 seconds left on teacups with you, Peter, starting now.
What can be more pleasant than the chink of china as the teacup is lowered into the saucer and then the teaspoon tossed into it? And then...
That's rubbish. Nobody tosses spoons. I mean, if they did, it goes splosh all over your friends. It's going to be disgraceful. Absolute deviation. I don't think that is any part of English behaviour. We don't toss spoons around.
Say...
We toss cabers, yes. And we toss pancakes.
Not with
a Shrove Tuesday. Tossing them up in the air, the pancakes. Here's your pancakes.
You can't toss capers with...
Oh, you can't even say it. Toss capers.
Kenneth, we've got to give a decision on this. Oh, you... That last laugh, listeners, was due to the fact that Kenneth has now decided to strip off. And he's taken his jacket from the peg and put it on his chair. And, Kenneth, I agree. I mean, if he describes the chink of teacups so delicately and then he talks about tossing the spoon in, the delicacy has disappeared. So your challenge is correct. There are 6 seconds left. Teacups starting now.
We all say, do we not, have a nice cup of
Patrick
tea
Moore
with your...
Challenge.
You all say, do we not? I don't.
That's a figure of speech, Patrick, so it's not correct deviation.
Well, so was tossing the teacups.
It was teaspoons anyway, so I was listening, so it's not correct what you've just challenged on. There's 1 second left with you, Ken. It's teacups starting now.
Tea is delicious.
Well, Kenneth was speaking as the whistle went, got that extra point, and as you see, he didn't need Peter Jones's help to bring him out of his shell at the beginning, because once he comes out of his shell, there's no holding him, is there?
And you can't get him back into it again.
No. He's got a commanding lead at the end of that round, and Patrick Moore's going to begin the next round of the subject, aptly for you, Patrick, the curvature of space. Will you tell us something about that, your own field of knowledge, starting now?
Space can, in fact, be curved. If you look at space anywhere in this world, or outside it for that matter, you will find that it's by no means straight. And by this I mean linear, non-curvature, the Einstein-Riemannian complex, as described way back in the year 1924, not by either of these gentlemen, whom I didn't in fact meet, but by another, whose name was Lobachevsky. He was naturally a Russian. He could hardly be anything else with a name like that. I mean, after all, could he be anything except a measure of the Soviet Union?
Amy MacDonald.
I didn't want to stop you, Dan, because you were so beautiful. But he said anything twice.
Yes, he did. You were listening very well, Amy. And there are 33 seconds for the curvature of space.
She walks right into it, doesn't she?
Thank you, thank you, Ralph.
Now listen, Amy McDonald's fills a very nice space with plenty of curvature, and she can talk it on that way if she wishes. And there are
We all know about your proclivities.
Please keep your private life to yourself. There are 33 seconds left, Amy, starting now.
I just thought of something. Once upon a time, I actually took a flying lesson. And there I was, up in the sky, with my instructor by my side, looking out of the window, and what did I see? A curvature of space, which is commonly known as the horizon.
Patrick, you challenged.
Oh, hesitation. She's
I
so
think you're right.
She stopped completely.
Yes, so she
I
got...
Why do I do that? Because I knew what I was going to say.
Well, I know, but we were all looking at you. In fact, it was quite a long time before anybody buzzed. They couldn't believe it. But, Amy, you did say something very effectively within the 20 seconds you went, and the curvature of space is now back with Patrick with 14 seconds to go, starting now.
Can space be curved? Look at the horizon, as we already heard, and you may imagine that this is so.
Peter Jones.
Well, he's repeating what she said.
Yes, again, but he didn't say it before, so he can repeat it.
I didn't say it, as we have heard. It's so boring to hear the same thing over again.
It's very boring, very boring.
Anyway, but... his whole delivery sounds like the Open University. It's not, not like just a minute. It sounds like just an hour and a half.
I will do what I've done in the past sometimes. We give Peter Jones a bonus point for the value of his comments, but they were incorrect, and Patrick keeps the subject. He gets a point for an incorrect challenge, though, Patrick, and there are 7 seconds, there were 8 seconds left, the curvature of space, starting now.
When I was flying myself during the war, I was hanging by the earth, and I was looking really hard at it.
Amy McDonald, challenge.
Oh, darling, you can't understand what you're saying, so how can you...
Well, how can I get it right? You accuse me of being slow and boring. Now you accuse me of going too fast. It's not fair. I know you're best on the
We give Patrick...
Well, I can't get it right, can I? Oh, all right, Kenny, thank you very much.
We give Patrick
it's all right,
more...
I decided to stay, it's all right.
That's right. Okay. We give Patrick more a bonus point for the best theatrical performance of the year. We can't give him an Oscar because we don't award them, but Amy McDonald a point for a correct challenge, and she has 5 seconds on the curvature of space starting now.
There I was in my little cabin, taking...
Repetition, we've already heard about a cabin. And
yes, there you were. You did repeat that before. So Kenneth has the subject...
What? I did not say a cabin.
We've all heard it. Don't keep on. We've heard all...
Amy, no, you did say, there I was.
There I was, of course.
But you said that before. And
well,
that's
where else was I?
And she just...
But you repeated the words, and that's what Kenneth
and
challenged
for. And
she's
just boring us by saying it again, if
yes,
I may say so.
Yes.
Kenneth, you have 3 seconds on the curvature of space, starting now.
Well, it naturally does this because the human eye appears... most exactly comparable to curvature of the spine.
Kenneth, we have finished that round.
Oh, sorry.
You've not only got a round of applause.
Curvature of the spine.
Yes. Looks like curvature of somewhere else, the way you illustrated. You've got a point for speaking as the whistle went. The audience have applauded your virtuosity and other things as well. And you've increased your lead. You're 2 ahead of Patrick Moore. You're 3 ahead of Amy McDonald and 6 ahead of Peter Jones. And Amy McDonald, it's your turn to begin. Oh, what a lovely subject. Spiders in the bath. I don't know if you've had any in the bath, Amy, but would you tell us something about them in 60 seconds, starting now?
I've never actually been in the bath with a spider, but I shall tell you what I do in order to avoid this. The important thing to remember, girls, is put the plug in.
Kenneth
Williams. No, I was going to say something terribly important.
I think this is deviation of the worst kind, because it was tell you girls, and the assumption, therefore, is that it's specifically for women, and surely that's racial discrimination of the worst kind. Why should not men have the benefit of this fabulous advice about spiders?
Because it might be revealed that she has something specific to say to women with spiders in the bath. And that could be revealed later as she goes on talking, because she wasn't actually deviating from the subject.
So anyway, no ordinary man would be afraid of a spider.
Yeah.
So, Amy, you have 47 seconds to continue on the subject of spiders in the bath, starting now.
When one hears about spiders in the bath, one automatically assumes that they come up through the drain pipe into the little plug hole.
Patrick Moore.
Repetition of plug.
Oh.
She said plug before.
Yes, she did say plug before. Yes, you did, actually, yes.
Well, this was plug hole, hyphenated
word.
That's right, plug hole. You're right, quite right, Peter. Yes, yes. Amy, you have 37 seconds for spiders in the bath, starting now.
The important thing to remember, ladies, is to get out of the bath before you pull the chain out of the...
Right.
Hesitation, which wouldn't dare say plug a third time.
No, I know.
I was trying to think of another word.
I know, but the trouble is, because you pause, everybody thought you were putting another chain while you were sitting in the bath. Patrick, you have the subject. There are 29 seconds on spiders in the bath, starting now.
It is perfectly true that spiders do come out through the plug, and this I am entitled to say, as I have not said it before.
Yes, Peter.
Repetition.
What?
Repetition of as I'm entitled to say.
No, he hasn't repeated that before. Amy said it before.
I buzzed as well.
But spiders can't come through the plug. They can come through the plug hole, yes.
Yes, I'm objecting to the same thing that Amy's objecting to.
What's that?
Whatever it is.
But spiders cannot come through the plug.
Of course they
can't.
They
come through the plug. Oh, no, it's impossible. Have you ever seen a spider go through a plug?
I'm surprised that someone who's so-called expert should...
He's not an expert on plug holes. He's an expert on space.
No, that's painfully obvious.
Peter, you have 23 seconds on spiders in the bath, starting now.
Anyway, I always tend to identify with the spider, and I visualise myself in a porcelain bowl the size of Wembley Stadium, and a huge manhole is taken up, and I'm flushed down it. And this must be a really ghastly experience for a spider, even one who's had a lot of adventures with flies and wasps and even bees and larger insects, because that's a dangerous life.
So Peter Jones, having got the subject, kept going for probably the longest spell in this show, gained that extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's still in fourth place. But he's gives us good value as usual, and Kenneth Williams is still in the lead. But Peter, it is your turn to begin. The subject is the fun of spending. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Funnily enough, I was strolling down Oxford Street only yesterday, watching the shoplifters, and... I reflected that many people find more fun in getting something for nothing than they do actually spending things to get it. And I don't know whether you're...
Patrick Moore, Charles.
Yes, and is that...
Yes, that's hesitation, definitely, Patrick. You have 43 seconds for the subject of the fun of spending, starting now.
The fun of spending, this is a term that takes us back to the years, going back at least one decade now, because it was fun to spend in those days when it was possible to retain any money to spend. This, alas, is not the case today. The great changeover came with the conversion to decimal coinage. This, of course, was known to be the biggest confidence trick ever played upon an unsuspecting public, and everybody got away with it.
Peter Jones, a child.
They weren't unsuspecting, they suspected.
That is a very clever challenge. Shall I put that to the wiser judgment of our audience? Now, if you consider that that challenge was good enough to deserve a point, and therefore the round you cheer for Peter Jones, and if you decide that it wasn't, you boo and support Patrick, and you all do it together now.
Hooray!
The cheers have it. You agree with Peter. They did suspect, and Peter has the subject. There are 22 seconds. The fun of spending, starting now.
And no doubt this fear has been confirmed, because the pound in their pocket was not still worth the same amount, but it's worth a great deal less. And it's very difficult to even remember how much it cost to ride on a bus. It used to be a penny and a halfpenny, and you used to be worried about handling it.
So Peter Jones is catching up, gaining more points in that round, including the one for speaking as the whistle went. He's only one behind Amy, and he's two behind our joint leaders, Patrick Moore and Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, we're back with you to begin, and the subject is François-Marie Arouet. I'm sure that you must know something about her, otherwise your messenger wouldn't thought of the subject for you. But will you tell us something now, in just a minute, starting now?
There is a theory that this is some sort of word coined by him for a...
Peter Jones.
Hesitation.
I'm afraid it was, Kenneth.
Yes, well, there
you hesitation.
Are.
So,
Peter... I knew it was Voltaire, and I knew that the name Voltaire was a coinage of Arouet, and...
Well, why'd you tell them? They may not know that.
Well, I've got it out anyway.
Right, Peter Jones, you have the subject. You have 47 seconds. François-Marie Arouet, starting now.
Well, he was the Frenchman who inadvertently invented limbo dancing when he tried to get into a pay toilet for nothing.
Well done. Amy, what is your challenge?
I don't believe that, darling.
I didn't actually hear because the audience laughed so loud. What was the last line you said, Peter?
Is it true?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Is it?
I can take you to... Well, I can't, actually, no.
So what,
it's quite near the Louvre, isn't it?
Amy, what was your challenge?
Oh, well, I just thought deviation, because I'm sure it's a load of rubbish, darling.
Well, isn't it all?
Yes, indeed. So you can talk a load of rubbish, providing you don't deviate from the subject on the card, and we cannot prove that he wasn't, so Peter keeps the subject, and there are 44 and a half seconds left, starting now.
His son, actually, was living near the Louvre when he met this other Frenchman. This is a rather involved story, so I ought really to give them names. We will call...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. He didn't have a son. It's just totally deviation. I mean, the whole thing is devious to a degree.
I think he was getting pretty far away from...
It was just deviation. He didn't have a son. That's all there is to it, yes.
So, maybe the character he was rubbishing on about was...
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
No, I know he doesn't, but it's not unusual in just a minute. There are 34 seconds for you, Kenneth, to take over the subject of François-Marie Arouet, starting now.
I am the only one here competent to discuss this subject, and...
Patrick Moore, challenge.
This is not true. We can all discuss Arouet, because Arouet was not the man whom you say he was. Not an answer.
So I think that's an incorrect challenge, but we are all competent to discuss him, so therefore that was a correct challenge, Patrick. So you now have the subject with 30 seconds to go, starting now.
Arouet was, in fact, a horse who was entered for the Grand National way back in the year 1924. This was something of a mistake, as the animal...
Kenneth Williams.
Two somethings.
Yes, that's right, Kenneth. Well listened. There are 22 seconds now on François-Marie Arouet, starting now.
When Voltaire went, in his youth, in the company of Chateauneuf to Holland, with his master, who was the ambassador, he had an affair with a girl there, which caused an appalling scandal, and they made him return to Paris. And very shortly after that, he incurred the wrath of Orléans, who was regent of France, and he was banished and sent to the Bastille.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
How does he know he didn't have a son?
One of those challenges on which we cannot make an accurate decision. So we give Peter Jones a bonus point for his...
You're always giving him bonus
points. He deserves bonus points. He gets one for that, and you keep the subject, Kenneth, and there are 14 seconds left, starting now.
He came over here as a result of another banishment and met Chesterfield, after whom that kind of sofa is named, and then he returned to Switzerland, where he lived because he'd been great cheer.
So, Kenneth Williams got that extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and, of course, other points in that round. Patrick, will you begin the next round? The subject is bridge. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Bridge can have two meanings. There is this thing that stretches across a river, and these can be extremely dangerous. There was one famous case where one of these, over a river in the somewhere in Scotland...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of river.
Yes, that is right. There are 49 seconds left for bridge with you, Peter Jones, starting now.
Well, of course, there are many more than two kinds of bridges. Some people wear them in their mouths, and other people use them to get from one point to another.
Amy MacDonald.
Did he do two people?
He used the word people. He didn't do two people, but he spoke...
Yes, I did, yes.
There are 40 seconds for you, Amy, on the subject of bridge, starting now.
Bridge over the River Kwai... It's a thing that stretches from one bank to another and is spelt B-R-I-D-G-E.
She's done it again.
Yes, it is. It's making me laugh.
Patrick challenged?
Hesitation.
Hesitation, full stop, yes.
Oh, Kenneth is making me laugh.
Well, he's not the only person. Patrick, you have a correct challenge. There are 25 and a half seconds on bridge starting now.
Bridge is also a very famous and skillful card game. There are four suits: diamonds, spades, hearts, and clubs. Each of these has a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5, a 6, a 7, an 8, a 9, a 10, a jack, a queen, a king, an ace, or if you prefer, a knave. Some of these packs also contain a joker. The art of bridge is to maintain one's bidding. Now, this can be extremely...
It's very interesting that only one point separates our four contestants. Amy MacDonald had 9 points. She was only one behind Peter Jones with 10 points, and he was only one behind Patrick Moore, who had obviously 11 points, and he was obviously only 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, who had 12 points, and is this week's winner, Kenneth Williams!
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.